are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. As usual, we have another educational, informative, unscripted, and fun show planned today. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere, Miss Ellen.
Yes, we are. All over the World Wide Web. We are on 1510WBC.com. You can click that website and go to Listen Live, and you can hear us live right on the show. Or if you'd like to see any of our archived or hear any of our archived shows, those are also housed on that 1510WBC.com. We also share them on our Facebook page, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And SitaMediaInc.com is our website where we have pictures and all the blogs and the audio from all of the shows that we've had. 14 years. Wow, Sita.
I know. And we're going to be on another year, I understand.
Yes.
Yay.
So in studio today, Ellen O'Neill is here, my co-host with, oh my goodness, what can I say? She's my right hand. Oh. Without Ellen, we won't have a show. It's awesome. And then we have a resident guest who's going to be here forever with us, Allie Tammer. Allie, welcome.
Thank you. Whether you like it or not, I'm here forever.
Right? That's right. That's right. And we've got a really great show planned today. There's a lady who was planning to call in, Dr. Juanita Hall, a retired educator and founder of the Fully Present Better Human Project. If she can make the time to call in from California, she will call in. She is a higher education
administrator. We usually just have a time thing
administrator.
Going on.
Yeah.
And with the time change and the fact that she's on Pacific time, that might have really messed her up.
That triples up the
That's right. But
timing.
Listen, we have a lot to chat about.
We
our second segment, we have an author, D.A. Chadwick, and she's going to be calling in to speak about all the awesome books that she's written. She's written 12 books and several screenplays. She's worked as a freelance translator of French, German, and Dutch to English for 21 years, and she's a member of the American Translators Association and the Kansas Bar Association. So we'll wait for Deb to call in. In the meantime, Ellen, tomorrow is a very important day, and we've got Allie with us, who is a voice of reason and sanity.
That
keeps us in line because she has a lot of experience about voting. And Allie, you've been through a lot of elections, local, state, and federal.
Yes.
And I thought today, if we didn't have anyone with us, that the three of us could just chat a little bit, because we always do shows with people who are running for office.
Yes.
And we applaud the people who are running for office, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, who understands what politics is all about.
That's right. It's a bold move to commit to doing the running. And respect goes way out to everybody that's chewing up the streets out there trying to make it work. For the vote.
And Ellen, you just touched on some of the things that the League of Women Voters had chatted with us about last week, which is if you didn't mail in your ballot by now, walk in with it to your polling station.
Exactly. Right? And it speeds things up a little bit. I do know that. You still have to present a valid ID, but it does speed things up a little bit if you turn that ballot back in. If you need to use it for like a cheat sheet or something like that, if you've written your things down on the ballot, just make another little note, because you can bring notes in with you. You just can't bring that extra ballot in with you, because they usually take it from you right there. So, but it's real important. Tomorrow's a big day, and hopefully, Sita, you had mentioned a million ballots are sitting on kitchen tables and sitting on desks and so forth.
Yeah.
So, but now's not the time to mail it in. Make sure that you bring it into your voting spot. Find out. You've got time. Still have time. You can check out the election supervisor website for Brevard County. for anywhere in Florida, actually, whoever your election supervisor is. And you can find out where to vote, how to vote, what the hours are, and all of that information is on there. And I want to add one more plug for League of Women Voters, because there's a lot of amendments and things that hit these ballots and so forth. And unfortunately, they're written in a lot of like double language, meaning what's least likely not to happen, those types of things, which is a really hard question when you're sitting there trying to make a decision as to whether you're voting for taxes or not taxes or whatever the case may be. The beauty of the League of Women Voters website, and again, it's a national thing, so you can get it in any state, is that they not only speak about the people that are running and campaigning, and they talk about their platforms and who they are, and they give a nice bio on them, but they also talk about the amendments, and they say things like, and speak very easy speak, like, if you vote yes, this is what this means. If you vote no, this is what
this means.
They break
it down for you.
So it's not, you don't have to do the least likely not to happen type of thing.
Well, like, how many times we've talked on this show about people speaking about kitchen table topics year-round. Exactly. Don't wait for November when it's time to vote to talk about inflation or talk about education or talk about burning books or banning books or whatever. And people just don't do it. So, you know, it's like people are talking about inflation, right? Okay, but I saw something by Robert Reich, who was in the Obama administration. And he says in one of his Facebook posts, please don't say that inflation is at a 40-year high without also mentioning that corporate profits are at a 70-year high. So think about that for a minute, right? So they're saying that inflation is here. Number one, the president doesn't set the prices at the gas pump. And we all know that Saudi Arabia has decreased their production of oil. So therefore, another country will pick that up, right? And we feel the brunt of it. The consumers pay the price from the pump, from the start to the finish, from pumping to the pump, right? From pumping in the Middle East or wherever the oil rigs are, right? So the thing is, people are saying that they're experiencing inflation, but look at the rest of the world. We're coming out of a pandemic. 2 years of trucks not being able to deliver goods, companies not working, people working from home with children at home, teachers not being able to teach, and then we go right into this election. So people need to start paying attention. Don't let their vote be guided by the politician or what the politicians are saying, but look at your own home. What are you voting for? Are you voting for clean air? Are you voting for water? Are you voting for food? Are you voting for a clean septic tank? Are you voting
roads,
for the environment?
For schools, affordable housing. And all of those things, just like we've talked about on the show so many times, and why we're so blessed with your connections with people in the community to have elected officials right here in our own town, in our own county, in our own spot in Florida. We have them come in so that they can talk about their platforms and what they plan to do and why they decided to run. And every one of them has been heart-centered and really talking from the heart about what they want to do to change the community. And in every community, I only live in Brevard County. However, in every community, it really does mirror a lot of what's going on in national politics. So I encourage people all the time to stay involved in local politics, get involved in what's happening right here. As a matter of fact, I went in so much as to say, you know, most people are living in a homeowners association right now, and they can't even figure out how to run their homeowners association, much less run a state or run a country or otherwise. So when people are talking about politics and all of this rage and divide and all of that stuff, I keep thinking that that's what's happening in our own backyard. So if we can't straighten it out here, what makes you think that we're going to be able to work on things like the gas pump and inflation and all those big stuff? Let's work on the small stuff because those are the ripple effects that happen.
You know, Ali, there's a saying that you don't have to teach people how to be human. You have to teach them how to stop being inhumane.
Great.
Right?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
How, I mean, we're all watching this election season where people are on the cable news television shows, and they're getting paid so much money to spread misinformation and disinformation, right?
Yes.
And people are spreading so much hate and lies and division. Wasn't there a time, Allie, and you've been around longer than I have, when Americans,
Thank you,
when Americans can agree to disagree peacefully and respectively and still be friends?
Well, there's always going to be the Hatfield and McCoys. You know, the people that disagree because they're taught to. So I think some of the changes that are happening in the school system with maybe a little bit more TLC with the children that are there will help make them less angry so soon.
Yeah.
And so perhaps that can give it a hand. But I don't know. I wish we had an answer to how anybody who puts anything on Facebook or Twitter or the cable news people are sworn to that it is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And so we're in a position now where we all have to doubt everything we hear and see.
Well, that's why shows such as ours, that's why shows such as ours, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we are the voice of the community.
Yep.
We are people that live in Brevard County, Florida, and understands the importance of voting, why people should vote. There's nothing wrong with checking your voter's registration card and making sure your signature match, that you know where your polling station is, that you know how to vote, where to vote. Make a plan to vote.
Yes, be responsible.
And people get upset when certain politicians say, well, we want you to have an ID. That's okay. Have an ID. I don't see anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You show an ID in the airport to get on a plane, right? So, and another thing I noticed of lately, you know, we saw the attack of Nancy Pelosi's husband.
Yes.
82 years old. We live in a time when political pundits and people on cable news are cheering the violence against an assault against an 82-year-old man. I remember a time when an 82-year-old man, if someone beat him up, people will rush to his defense, to his rescue. What has happened, Miss Ellen, that we're hearing absurd stories and people are cracking jokes about a man whose wife dedicated her life to public service?
Well, I think it goes back to what Allie said, that there's so many political pundits that are out there that are saying mistruths and then making things up. And then there's the whole conspiracy theory pieces that go along with it. So who knows what happened at that house?
But
you know, and
so,
I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, our eyes don't deceive us. A man got beaten up. An older man, a senior citizen, mm-hmm. got hit in the head to where he had to have surgery.
Yes.
So
but
why?
But they're more involved in the.
But I mean, why not say
reality TV drama?
Why not say
of
a prayer? Why
saying
not,
a prayer?
You know, why
for
not
me?
Say a prayer for the guy and right. say, "Look, I am so sorry this happened to you. I understand the gentleman was looking for Nancy Pelosi, and I'm sorry because no one in America should break into someone's home with the intent of hurting that person or someone who lives in that home." Why can't the political pundits just leave it at that and say, "I'm sorry that that happened to you"?
Because we're too involved in reality TV and trying to make up these stories about
and salaciousness sells.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, and
word.
I
yes.
mean, and it's wrong. You know, my mother used to say, two wrongs don't make a right." It's wrong.
But
no,
three lefts do.
Yeah.
There you go.
But you know, but it's sad and it's very frustrating. To watch how people have taken stories such as those and running with it without verifying the facts that someone broke into someone's home and hurt an 82-year-old man. There is no story attached to that.
Right.
It's just wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I sit down and I mean, being a nurse and everything, and we know we have patients who are that. If they fall, we rush them to the hospital if they hit their head. Because it's so important to us,
right.
you know?
Yep.
So I want to spend, you know, just a minute here just to kind of break the moment
yeah.
of the supervisor of elections here in Brevard County is Tim Bobanek. And there is a votebrevard.org website. So I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to go to that website and you can update your voter record. You have to be, everything has to be done already. You got 29 days before an election cycle to have everything done. However, the mailing ballot, that thing is over. So bring it in with you. Early voting, that's over. That was over on November 5th. However, right now, tomorrow, you have the opportunity. You can verify your registration status on votebrevard.gov, or you can call 321-290-VOTE. That's 8683. You're encouraged to bring your sample ballot to the polls. You can use that as a reference for the sample one. And then you're going to bring a valid form of ID. And no, you can't do any photography in the voting polls, but that's about the only rule. And then it goes through how to mark your ballot. And then, like I said, there are other links in here that tell you about where you can find out information about the candidates. It's also information of where you can find out the information about the amendments and the things that are on the ballot
for
this time. The judges, absolutely. For anybody who's running, for school board, for judges, for representation, for all of it. So make sure that
the judge one was helpful, because there's no place you can find out the leanings, maybe, or the, you know, or how much history or experience they've got. Any place else but League of Women Voters with that, with the judges, because it gives a description of each of them and it's kind
right.
of their, the way they've ruled and
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes.
So
yeah.
that's necessary.
Well, you know, the thing is, the people that so many of us are fighting for, we're fighting for people to have the right to choose to plan their families. We're fighting for people to have a public school where every child has a quality education. We're fighting for people to have good roads and an affordable place to live. We're fighting for them to have, you know, a decent wage.
Yes.
Health insurance. I mean, I know that Charlie Crist is talking about expanding Medicaid, which a lot of people don't have health insurance. I mean, you have people working in the healthcare field that don't have health insurance. But what drives me crazy are the people that did not take the opportunity to go to the supervisor of elections office or go online. It's less than 20 seconds to register to vote. It really boggles the mind that so many people are doing the heavy lifting for those who say, I don't care. I don't vote. I don't believe in all this stuff. I don't think it makes a difference. It does make a difference. Every vote counts. And I can't stress enough that it is not our responsibility to come into your house and your yard and tell the grandma and the grandpa and the aunts and the cousins and whoever lives in that home that, hey, at your family barbecues, you should be talking about mortgages. You should be talking about education. You should be talking about your representation for your community, your public school. And why aren't you? Why somebody in every family needs to have an anti-Maxine that says, why aren't you registered to vote? Give me a reason why. You live in the greatest country in the world where we have early voting. We have days upon days of when you could cast that vote. Doesn't matter which political party you work for, you vote for. And then you have a day of election. So, Ellen, I don't understand. You know a lot more people than I do, and I know Danny knows.
That is
knows,
so crazy to say like, that.
Like, what is it about casting that all-important vote that people just are so horrible at?
Well,
like,
it's apathy. My friend circle, I see things like, and I hear things like, well, I've never really been into politics, so I don't really know, or I'm not educated enough. And they're, you know, they're being honest about it. But at this point, what I say is you really have to, even if it's just a little bit of skin in the game at this point, and the little bit of the skin in the game, in my opinion, is voting. That's the least amount that you could possibly do, is just show up on election day and go in and cast your vote. But I always retort back to those people. You don't have kids in school? You don't use the police department? You don't use the fire department? You don't use the roads, you don't use the streets, you don't use the, you know, so I go on to this rant that, of course I do that. Of course, well, don't you want them to be better? Don't you have a complaint about the schools, or don't you have a complaint against the roads that you would want it to be better? And hopefully that changes people's minds a little bit. The second part of it is, you know, it's apathy. You
yeah.
know, they just don't care. And,
well,
and unfortunately,
and the thing is, and we paid a price though.
We
paid
the price for that.
Because
absolutely.
Democracy is on the ballot.
So
it
Ben
is.
Franklin said, in order for democracy to work, the citizens have to be contentious. And to be contentious, that means that everybody votes, that everybody has a say. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is. I mean, I don't care what your opinion is. If you're all blue, if you want to vote all Democrat and right down the line, God bless you. I'm just glad you're going out to vote. If you're voting all red, I'm just glad you're going out to vote. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is I want people to care about what happens. I see people flick cigarettes out their window. That tells me right then and there, if I'm profiling, God help me, but if somebody flicks a cigarette out a window, I assume they are not voters.
Yeah.
Because you would never do that to your own country. You would never do that to your own city and garbage and litter if you were a voter. You just wouldn't do that.
And you know, people complain about the water pressure in their pipes at home. They complain about
they don't
the stench.
They can do something.
But you could do something. You put people into office not because they're career politicians and you want them to rubber stamp everything that's coming down from the top, but you put people in office who actually care about your community. Everything starts locally, right? And from the local, then the state, then the federal. But I know, as for me, I've been noticing people are saying, well, they're not going to vote Democratic because they don't know what President Biden has done. Well, you're looking at the big picture. You're not looking at what's going on in your community. Is the Indian River Lagoon clean? Do we have enough teachers in our public school?
I don't remember a Democratic flag being in the Indian River or a Republican flag being in the Indian River. Yeah. I remember going to try and swim in the Indian River and I not able to do it.
Well, what about our teachers? I mean, right. You have to vote for politicians who actually value education. Who actually says to a teacher, you shouldn't have to work a second or third job in order to make your bills. Right. A teacher should be paid what she's worth or he's worth because they are educating the minds of the future. An educated society is a well-informed nation, and that's how it should be.
And one more thing I want to add to this.
One of the things that someone sent me this morning is that some of the things that President Biden has done. And you don't hear it on cable news when people are trying to align Charlie Crist with President Biden or Val Demings with President Biden or Darren Soto or Maxwell Frost or some of these guys who are running and on the ballot. President Biden passed the Inflation Reduction Act. He passed the CHIPS and Science Act, the first major gun safety legislation in decades. Took out the leader of Al-Qaeda, historic job growth, historically low unemployment, expanded the NATO alliance. The American Rescue Plan led to the fastest jobs growth in history, jobs recovery in history. Confirmation of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson rallied our allies in support of Ukraine. And once in a generation infrastructure investment. And let's just go back a little bit to the American Rescue Plan. When so many people, hairdressers, barbershops, teachers, nursing aides, retail people were home during the pandemic. And the money that they got with the American Rescue Plan helped people because they didn't have a savings and they still had bills. So I think Americans have such a short attention span. They forget what it felt like to wake up and know our country had a pandemic and nobody had the answers to it. And people were ill-speaking the scientists like Dr. Fauci and saying stupid stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I worked in the nursing homes and I can say before the COVID-19 vaccine, we had people that died. After the vaccine, we didn't. So, I mean, at some point, we have to say, well, listen, you didn't go to school for 12 years to study viruses and science. He did. Give him the benefit of a doubt and listen a little bit. So we are coming out of a pandemic. And so I think we need to show respect for our president and those in office who actually care.
I want to go back to voting just for a second, though. My third point that I wanted to bring up is the fact that we have a less than 35% voter turnout rate in general. That's been statistics for the last 30 years. If we got to, even if the American citizens got to 60 or 70% of voting, I think it would scare some of these politicians because people do care. At this point right now, the corruption and the things that happen and the conspiracy theories and all of that things is really just because our voter turnout, I believe. Is so low.
But there was and no, I don't think there was, the election deniers are wrong. When Hillary Clinton lost the election.
I'm not talking about any of that.
But all it ties up very nicely because people are saying President Biden is on the ballot. The Democrats won't get their vote. People won't vote blue because people are judging local and state politicians.
That's not my point, Sita. My point is that if we had a 70% voting turnout, it would show that the American citizens care, and maybe we would have less corruption. Maybe we would have less of all of this other stuff.
But you
got to
look at the other side of that. When Hillary Clinton, when Hillary Clinton lost the elections, she conceded. When Al Gore lost, we all remember the hanging chads.
We still had 30% turnout, though. That's what I'm saying.
Not in that election.
Yeah, we did.
People usually vote more in the general for president. And we have a lot. We had more turnout for that election.
40%. That's not a lot.
We'll look at that. But the thing is, when other politicians lost, they concede. They concede and they say, that's it. But unfortunately, what we saw the last 2 years in 2020, everybody and their brother who is an election denier now is running for office. And when you put people in office who's running for office that started their campaign on a lie, you're going to be sending somebody to Washington, D.C. or your state house who started out on a lie. When I ran for office, they said, if you have any skeletons in your closet, come clean. But now people are boldly saying, I did this, I did that. And somebody said, if I shoot a man down Fifth Avenue, I'll still be voted in. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong. And for others to say they're not going to vote for a politician like Charlie Crist or Val Demings because they're aligning them with President Biden is wrong. That's why I just read that President Biden did. Because if you're going to say you're not voting for Val Demings or Charlie Crist because Biden didn't do anything, you have to pay attention. Go and Google what he's done. You can't say he didn't do anything. Like somebody said to me yesterday, I'm not voting because I don't see the president doing anything for me. I said, the president is not coming to your home to wake your kids up on a decent time and send them to school. The president is not responsible for your kids' homework. The president is not responsible for you to show up at work and do your job. How are you blaming President Biden, Val Demings, and Charlie Crist for your life when you are the one living in your home? Stop. I don't care which politician you blame. Don't blame a Republican or a Democrat or an independent if your house is not in order. You know what I mean? So for I feel as though to judge a political party because of what's happening in Washington, D.C., when we want people locally to represent us for our environment and our roads and our schools is just wrong. You know, people who don't have Medicare or Medicaid and it's not expanded, they have a right to say, I need health care. But you can't go and not vote for Val Demings or Charlie Crist and expect to have Medicaid expanded. So and sadly, the politics is all tied into from Washington, D.C. all the way to local politics. And it's sad.
I agree with most of what you said. All I'm saying, my original point was, is that if we could get to a 70% vote rate, I think that the politicians would sit up and be a little bit more attentive to the fact
well, the only
that
way
we've got people. Don't interrupt. Hang on a second. Yeah. That the only way that we're going to get people to get the politicians' attention is if we get a higher vote turnout rate. That's my point. I don't care what they vote for. I don't care who they vote for at this point. At this point, it's just about getting that number of people out and saying, I care about what's happening to our United States. I care what's happening in my community, so much so that I'm going to make sure that I make the time, make the plan to vote. That's the
Well,
most
it all
part.
Starts with an education, right? And it starts with all of us collectively having those kitchen table conversations with our children and our family members about the importance of voting for issues that affects you and your family.
Lead by example.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful.
It wouldn't be a bad thing to take your kids with you when you go vote.
What
are we doing, Mom? Well, this is why, and this is what happened.
Right. When you fill out your ballot, take it with you. But in 2020, approximately 240 million people were eligible to vote in the presidential election, and roughly 66.1% submitted their ballots, totaling 158 million. That's why I said, Elle, that I'm over 40% voted. And so usually we have a low voter turnout in the midterms.
You missed what I said, though. It was statistically over the last 20 years, we've had less than 40%.
Way too low.
That's my point.
Well, I'm hoping that we go back to the time when if someone runs for office and they lose, they concede. When I lost to Thad Altman, I called him right away and I said, congratulations. When Hillary Clinton lost, she called and she said, you know, she conceded. We had George Bush who ran against and he conceded. So when John McCain, he conceded. So the thing is, I think you should run for office knowing that there's a winner and there's a loser. Or you could say one is first and one is second. But you can't run for office as an election denier because you're going in that if your team didn't win, you're going to come up with some cockamamie story about the election and the ballot boxes and where you saw. For so many people who run our country and our supervisor of elections have said there was no fraud in 2020. But sadly, this morning when I was listening to cable news and they said how many election deniers are on the ballot and will be elected, they're starting out their career as a politician on a lie. This is the greatest nation in the world and we did not have fraud. Maybe there were a few people here and there to try to sneak in, but for the most part, the states that Democrats won in, nobody said that they were stealing. So why is it that only in certain states the election deniers came out in droves and certain areas? So I'm just saying that it's kind of sad, but people need to pay attention and they need to cast that vote because we do have a lot of election deniers that are going to get into office. And if you care about democracy, absolutely, you should care about the people that are starting out their career as a lie, lie.
I pray that everybody cares about democracy and I pray that everybody has the wherewithal to get on either a legal women voters or someplace that you can start getting yourself. At least you got 12 hours. You got a little cram for the test available right now. But we're going to take a quick break here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and listen to our fantastic sponsors. And we'll be right back right after these messages with our fantastic second guest.
Christian Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency room. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And before we go to our second guest for today, D.A. Chadwick, who's written 12 books and several screenplays, Ellen has an ad from one of our newest sponsors.
We do. It's Lizette's Cajun Bistro. Are you longing for the taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. Lizette's is locally owned by a Gold Star family. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared from scratch daily and made to order. They have dine-in or takeout, as well as some amazing seating, live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro right here in Melbourne, Florida.
Yes, and she's a friend of ours.
She is, and a guest on the show.
That's right.
And a fantastic singer, by the way.
And their fish is delicious.
Lady
it's well-seasoned. Everything yes. is well-seasoned there.
Beignets.
Yeah, we love it. So now we have our second guest, and it's Deb Chadwick. So, Deb, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I have to say, we haven't had a freelance translator of French, German, and Dutch to English on our show as yet. So you are the first. Welcome, and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be on the show. Well, I'm a writer and a translator. I've been a substitute teacher and a law enforcement officer. I've done a fair amount of traveling, and I love military history and true crime. I've written two true crime books. One's the Hinterkaifeck, Terror in the German Countryside, and Deer Creek, the Murders of William H. Gibson and John S. Fraser.
And the last book you wrote seems pretty interesting. Your books have a lot of hidden secrets that are coming to life, and some of them are stories that was handed down to you by relatives.
Yes, that was Deer Creek. Yeah, that happened here in Kansas in 1890.
And that was when you said that you didn't want to talk about it while your father was alive, but you figured now that he's gone, you wrote that story. Tell our listeners a little bit about Deer Creek.
Deer Creek was in about two murders that happened in Kansas in 1890. They were two cattlemen, and one was just poisoned in a motel in Moline, Kansas. The other one was stabbed to death down in Chautauqua County. And it has to do with tick fever and the fencing, free grazing. They made a lot of enemies, and they would buy up properties that we were taking the sheriff's auction, so they didn't have a lot of friends, but the murders remain unsolved officially. They didn't find the murder weapon until 1899, which was part of the problem. And so nobody was ever convicted for the crimes.
Well, somebody knew how to hide a murder weapon.
Well, and they knew how to keep their mouths shut then.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything.
Yeah. Which is unlike Southern folk in general, right?
Yeah, because they do dick and talk, right?
Yeah, we talk over anything.
Well, yeah, they knew how to keep a secret.
Mm-hmm. And the latest book you wrote, Terror in the German Countryside, I can't pronounce that word H-I-N-T-E-R.
Hinterkaifeck.
Oh, my God. I did try, and I said I'm going to butcher that word up. So that right. one looks pretty interesting. That's the one that I had contacted you about.
Yeah.
It's about a murder of five family members that lived on a farm, and their maid. And
yes.
they were all killed in the German town of Groburn in 1922, and that is still unsolved. Now, how did you come up with this one? That one sounds like it should be a movie, actually. And you have written screenplays.
There's movies in Germany. There hasn't been any made here yet. And I haven't seen any full-length true crime novels either. It's just I'm into true crime, so I knew about it. There was a little bit on the web, but not a whole lot. If you don't read German, there's not much at all. It's just a scary story.
Yeah, and then you wrote one called The Chimera Project. It's a thriller based on stories your father told you 30 years ago about a shadow government. You, and you know what? A lot of these are things that are happening today.
Yes, a lot of stuff he said is coming true. So, yeah, he worked for the Pentagon, Army Intelligence, assigned to the CIA. So, I knew a lot of stuff that I thought everybody knew, but it turns out they didn't.
I wonder how the conversations around your dinner table must have been pretty intriguing because you were like a sponge. You soaked up everything that they were telling you.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I could feel that. So how do you select the names for your characters?
I like unusual names, and I like to go exploring like old cemeteries, and I write down unusual names.
That's a great place to pick up wonderful old names, is old cemeteries like that, yeah.
Yeah, because you see them on the headstones.
Yes, and they're names that you don't hear anymore.
And you can, right. And that's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So Deb Chadwick, do you have do you feel like there's ethics in writing about historical figures? Like, should an author or a writer have any kind of ethics? Because you want the people to rest in peace, but you also want to tell the truth.
Yes, that is it. That is something that you should consider. There's a lot of historical novels out, like about the Tudors. You know, so people just, you have no idea of what was said in private, you know, or what really went on. So there's a lot of speculation going on there. I'd be careful about that. But, you know, writing nonfiction, you really want to get the facts straight, not doing a whole lot of speculation.
Now, your books can be found, I saw many on Amazon and Goodreads. Give our listeners the website for you. You have your own website as well.
Yeah.
So people could look at all these books there. I mean, I don't know how you sleep. These are a lot of books.
Yep.
I don't sleep very well, actually. Now that you mention it.
The website.
Oh, yes. It's www.dachadwick.com.
So every author has their own favorite book. What is your favorite childhood book?
The FBI story. I checked that out a lot. Actually, I think I was the only one that did.
You were a Nancy Drew girl, right, Sita?
Yes.
That was your your thing.
Yeah, and I used to have read detective magazines in grade school too.
Yeah. Now you probably, like with the rest of us, watching what's going on with the banning of certain books in schools.
Oh, yes.
Do you have an opinion on that? Because I know a lot of us, I love imaginations and I love reading and I love discussing things, and I always walk away learning something new every day, right? So to me, that's what discussion of books is all about in English class, literature class, history class, whatever it is. How do you feel about books that are now not going to be in schools?
I don't care for that at all. You know, pretending something didn't happen doesn't make it not true. We should be discussing it.
Right.
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. You know, even of fiction, it's a commentary on what's going on at the time. And I don't understand that. I'm totally against it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, well, you know, of course, tomorrow people have to be out there voting. And we were just talking, you know, just the three of us talking about, you know, why people should speak about issues that are affecting themselves and their families year round instead of waiting when it's time to make a plan to vote and vote for your own interests, not the interests of a politician. And I think this election season, like tomorrow, and of course, here in Florida, we had a lot of days leading up to it. What would someone do if they went one day and their public library had a lock on it? And you know what? That's probably something that could happen. And people, I mean,
that's right.
Right? And people would say, oh my gosh, I can't get into the, well, guess what? You didn't vote for people who would protect your right to read a historical book or read about what happened before you came on the planet. So now do we say to that person, you don't have a right to complain because you didn't vote? I mean, it's kind of sad what's happening, especially with books. Books are supposed to be our friends.
That's right. It's just, it should not be happening. And, you know, we just don't learn from the past. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, they were burning books in Germany.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, yeah, they didn't want anybody having their own opinion. And it's getting that way now. People are getting afraid to say anything.
I know. You have to be careful in what you wear, what's on your T-shirt.
Yes.
You have,
yes.
Because, you, I mean, I was at the gym and I was wearing a T-shirt that says Obama 2016 or something. And I could feel the stares of, and it was just a nice shirt. And I didn't pay any, I just put it on, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. But anyways, so we're, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Deb Chadwick. And she's an author and she's written tons of screenplays. And we're talking about her books that she's just written, lots of murders and family secrets and crime novels. So Deb, what does literary success look like to you?
Well, you know, a lot of people think, you know, you have to make a lot of money, and that would be nice. I think the main point is reaching people and drawing attention to the past, because so many people these days are just not interested in history or anything that's happened. And there's a lot of stories out there that need to be told. You know, a prime example is all the individual Holocaust stories coming out. These would never be known if these people weren't talking now.
And, at least they're still alive to be able to help us.
Yeah, learning from the past, I think, is a really important thing.
You know what's sad too is, you know, when you think of history and you think of the people who came before us, they did in their way make a path for us. That's why we're here, yeah. And we're supposed to leave a good footprint behind for our grandchildren and the next generation. And my husband is reading a book right now, War and Peace, and I think it's 1,400 pages. And last night I was just doing something and I heard him say, "Come quickly!" And I ran upstairs. And he goes, "My character is still alive," because he's telling me about his characters, Napoleon, and, you know, all the people that he's reading. Yeah, and it's amazing that what happened back then is actually happening today.
Yeah,
but people are not paying attention to it. So how do we get more people to care, Deb? How do you get more people to stop the hate and the division and, you know, all this bigotry that we're seeing? Because really and truly, every day we wake up, it is a beautiful world if we choose to make it beautiful.
Yes. Well, denial is not helping anything. We need to embrace, you know, mistakes of the past and see what we can do different now. Like a prime example is like they're writing off whole generations of people because they were in the Confederate Army. And, you know, how did they know then that was going to be the wrong thing? It's the same way with Germany. We could find ourselves in the same spot. You know, end up being on the wrong side. You don't know what's going to happen 50 years later. So we need to understand what happened then and see how we can change our reactions to whatever may be happening. Now, we could find ourselves easily being in the same spot as Nazi Germany. You know, extreme right-wing attitudes. And it could happen pretty quick. All it would take is people not thinking... Are people thinking that voting doesn't count? It won't matter anyway.
Well, it's amazing because this morning I heard on one of the cable news shows they were saying that so many of the election deniers are on the ballot and they probably will win.
I know, that's scary.
And I'm like, but that's like starting off your whole political career on a lie.
Yes, but people will vote these people in. I don't understand it. It doesn't matter what they do. Even like trying to take over the country, that wasn't really taken that seriously either. But half the people in this country think that was okay.
Do you think it has something to do with social media, that people just got lazy and they don't want to walk into a library and check out a book and go home and find a nice spot and sit down and read and imagine and learn? Because almost like my friends who are librarians, they tell me all the time, they don't see a lot of children coming in with parents the way we did with our parents and got a lot. I mean, my kids were so proud of their library card. They kept it in a good spot. They went in, they looked for their book, they knew what they were looking for, and they spent hours in the library. But my friend was telling me, she said, it's amazing. You see now more older people coming into the library because they want to use the internet.
Yeah.
You don't see the young people coming in and checking out books like Anne Frank and To Kill a Mockingbird and whatever. You just don't see that anymore.
I know, and that's really sad. It's just the younger generation doesn't seem to be interested in genealogy or even the history of their own family, which I don't understand because I just find it fascinating. No, I think the media has a lot to do with it. It just seems like they want us to fight. If it looks like we're starting to get along a little bit, they keep stirring things up.
Yeah, we go back to the day when I think we should have a national potluck day for curry chicken and rice and barbecue chicken and tuna fish and whatever you know. So one of your books, Deb Chadwick, it's called The Grass Widow.
Yes.
And it's a fine read. And is that one about in 1969, a 10-year-old hunter, Brody, found a manuscript in an abandoned...
That's the Chimera Project.
The Grass Widow sounds really good. The Grass Widow.
That was the Civil War, yeah. I have a woman disguising herself as a man to join the Confederate Army with her brother and cousin.
Isn't that something?
You're making us think because we've never had an author on who delved so much into history and crime and, you know, the law and come up with such great books. Now, what was an early experience where you learned that language had power, like the English language? I mean, and you're a translator, so when did you learn about, like, to yourself and say, man, this is the power of language?
I was in high school when I realized that. Actually, the Bible, it's been translated and misinterpreted so many times. And, you know, that's one book that has shaped this whole world. And it's so important how accurate the translations is, and you have to take the period of time in context. Who wrote it? What were they being influenced by? And people don't do that.
Yeah, you know, I saw that on Facebook yesterday. Somebody said, what was the greatest book ever written? And most people said the Bible. And sometimes it's up to interpretation as well, right? Because I was telling Ellen and my friend Ellen O'Neill is my co-host of 14 years. And then we have Allie Tamber, who's here with us on Mondays. She's considered our guest resident. She lives with us on the show. And I was telling them that somebody said to me yesterday that she's not going to be voting as a Democrat because she thinks the Democratic Party is promoting too much quote-unquote gayness. And I'm like, well, how do you come up with that? And she's like, I want nothing to do with it. They need to go back in the closet. I don't care for them to be married. I don't care. And I said, well, you do understand it's about benefits too. If you love someone and you want them to have your health benefits or your pension plan, you should be allowed to do that. And she said, nope, I don't want no part of it. So, I mean, how do we get in a place like that in a country where the hate for people that you don't even know is there out in the open like that?
You know, it seems like there always has to be one group of people that's hated.
Yeah.
You know, like, people kind of got to the fact that they accept gayness. Now it's the transgender thing. And after that gets kind of accepted, there'll be somebody else to pick on. It just, I don't know if it's human nature or what, there always has to be a herd-like mentality. You know, let's get the weakest. Or let's have somebody to pick on.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, really and truly, at the end of the day, what are those people doing to us? Are they taking away our clean air, our water, our sunshine, our wages? They're not taking anything from people. I think just like everybody else, they just want to wake up and have a life.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know?
I never understood it either, like gay marriage. How is that affecting anybody else's marriage? It's not.
Well, no. You know, there's many like that woman that is sitting out this election because the political pundits and cable news and even writers and authors such as you and I wrote material that people should not be reading and taken as the truth, as the gospel, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, Deb, so for listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with author Deb Chadwick. And she has written 12 books and several screenplays. and worked as a freelance translator of French, German, and Dutch to English for 21 years. She's a member of the American Translators Association and the Kansas Bar Association. So do you see writing as a spiritual or therapeutic practice as well?
Yes, I find it very therapeutic. And any kind of book, like I wrote one called Retribution. It's about a guy that gets back at sex offenders. I can't really do that myself, but I found it very liberating to be able to write about it, a character that could.
Very good.
Yes. Boy, and so when you write a book, Deb, because you have to do a lot of research,
yeah,
what kind of research do you do, and how long do you spend researching what you're going to be writing about before you start your book?
Oh, it usually takes about a couple of years to get a book done. Like on the Singing Nun, I worked like 2 years on that one, 3 years. And I spent a year working with a French writer who'd written a book on the Singing Nun, Florence Delaporte. That took about 3 years. Plus, it helps so I can read other languages, because I don't think I could have written on the Singing Nun without being able to read French. And I sure couldn't have wrote Hinter Kaifeck without being able to read German. Because some of this stuff, there just isn't much in English out there.
Yeah, you said that word again, that I couldn't say it. Oh, my goodness. I'm happy. So give our listeners one more time the websites where they can find any of your 12 books and screenplays, Deb. It's such a pleasure to speak to you. My goodness, I wish I could read as much as you do. It's amazing.
Oh, I love to read. I have a huge library. Yeah. So it's www.dachadwick.com.
And you know,
and my books are available, but I don't have shelf space in the bookstore. It's very hard to get, but anywhere online.
Yeah,
I'll teach you. Send me a message, Deb. I'll teach you how to get your books in the bookstore. I did it for Sita.
Okay.
Yeah, we got mine in the bookstore. But, you know, I just wanted to just throw this out to our listeners that when Deb is not translating or writing books, she enjoys ghost hunting, fishing, building model ships, and playing 12-string guitar. If you ever make it to Brevard County,
come
Florida,
play with me.
Come and listen to Ellen sing and hang out with us in the studio. We'd love to have you in person and learn from you, and maybe some of the knowledge and experience you have will rub off on us.
I could use it.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, Deb.
Well, once again, another fantastic edition here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in sunny Cocoa, Florida on AM 1510 WWBC. Once again, you can catch all of our shows archived on WWBC.com, also on our Viewpoint with Sita and Friends Facebook page, as well as SitaMediaInc.com, which is our website. Thanks again, Sita and Allie, for another fantastic Monday. Folks, we'll be right back here, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, next Monday.
Hey, Deb, if you send me...